What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Braves and baseball fans, it's time to take a trip from coast to coast across Major League Baseball.
There it goes, a long drive. If it stays fair, home run.
One strike away. Sandy into his windup. Here's the pitch. Swung on and missed, a perfect game.
Fly ball deep left center. Grissom on the run. Yes. The Atlanta Braves have given you a championship. Listen to this crowd.
Left side, Swanson to first. Braves, world champions.
Braves and baseball talk, straight from the diamond.
Brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today. And Window Nation. Call the pros at Window Nation at 866-90-NATION.
Here's Grant McCauley.
Hello and welcome to From the Diamond. I am Grant McCauley. These are the Kia Studios, and this is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on a Sunday evening. As we get ready to parse through what was, for lack of a better way to sum it up, another disappointing weekend for the Atlanta Braves. A disappointing homestand for the Atlanta Braves comes to a close, more importantly, and the days of the calendar just keep getting ripped off one after another, and opportunity continues to slip through this club's fingers at an alarming rate. And why is it alarming? Well, because we are approaching the All-Star break, and this club seems to be no closer to figuring out what's wrong than it was when it started out the year 0-7. Now, that might sound like a melodramatic statement because they have won games since they started out by losing the first seven of the year. But this is a club that hasn't found its consistency, that has not been able to create the productivity offensively that it needs, and now is starting to feel the effects, the buckling, if you will, of their season because they're having injuries to overcome, and they're happening to guys that you just flat out, no matter how good you are, no matter how much depth you have created over the course of a winter, are going to have a very difficult time replacing. And I'm talking about the innings that have been provided by some really, really important starting pitchers. Chris Sale, we knew he was going to be out for a while, and then the news came down this week that Spencer Schwellenbach is also going to be down for a while. And if my math is correct, that is 4/5 of the Braves starting rotation to start the year, because Reynaldo Lopez lasted exactly one start. A.J. Smith-Shawver lasted exactly, 2 months? And now you look at a rotation that has Spencer Strider, a rotation that has Grant Holmes, and then a rotation that has, I think, three question marks after that. You don't know what you're getting out of Bryce Elder at this point, but it's been a lot more bad than good lately. A mixed bag at best this year. You've got a 20-year-old who's up as well. You just threw a bullpen game, which, you know, is not something that's going to be sustainable when you're missing four-fifths of your rotation in an ideal world. But I think we have learned over the course of the first season, we are not living in an ideal world for the Atlanta Braves. If we were, they would have found the answers to some questions and some issues that have been plaguing them dating all the way back to May the 1st of last year offensively. I mean, we're not talking about a small sample size. We're not talking about just an outlier season on its own, although you do kind of have to wonder if you start to compare the highs of 2023 and the lows of 2025 and think, what if they were to split the difference and get back to some level of normalcy? But I think you could use a lot of what-if statements about it's going to add up to absolutely nothing in reality, because the Braves are who they are right now, and what they are, unfortunately, is a team that's in another tailspin. And this may be the one that really, I think, becomes the straw that broke the camel's back in a lot of ways. And I could throw all the cliches out there and, you know, fill up two solid hours of, well, the thing they can do is move forward and try to get hot. And yes, I mean, all that's true, sure. But the math equation of not just winning the division, which is, I won't even begin a shot. It feels like a no shot. But then you've got the wild card, which you would think with expanded playoffs is the back door into the maybe a difficult hill of itself, in and of itself, to climb because of how many teams you have to climb over in order to claim one of those three spots. And that math is not math for the Braves either, for that matter. I mean, to say the season's been a roller coaster, sure, but it's been a lot more downs, and those are starting to outweigh the ups because the losses are piling up in games, they're piling up in series, and they're piling up in personnel. And from one way, shape, or form, it seems to go from bad to worse and then find another level. From bad to worst, or worse and beyond. Maybe it is to worst. Either way, it's just not going well for this club. They lost to the Orioles again on Sunday. That marks a three-game sweep at home against a team that was basically in the same boat. If you're going to go back and look at all the preseason prognosticators, the Orioles were supposed to be a very good team in a very tough division over the American League East. They have not been. And the Braves were supposed to be a very good team in a very competitive National League East. And the Braves have not been a very good baseball team. The Braves have tumbled to 11 games under 500 for the first time since the end of 2017. That is a season in which they lost 90 games. And remember what I just said about the math not really being on Atlanta's side right now? Well, I want to just lay some of this out so that it's abundantly clear as to exactly what kind of boat that the Braves are in and exactly how much water this boat has been taking on, especially over this last five series. The Braves swept the New York Mets on the 20th of June. They woke up and may have thought, we got some momentum on our side. We're going to go on a run. That was the plan. That was just over 2 weeks ago. They have not won any of the subsequent five series that followed. They split one series against the Mets and lost the other four. And the Braves have gone 5-10 over that series, or over that stretch of games, in not winning any of those five series. So you can look at the Braves at 13 games out, 13 and a half games out now, of the National League East, behind the New York Mets and the Philadelphia Phillies. Mets are in second place. Phillies have moved past them into first place. So those two teams have kind of been in a bit of a dogfight. But the Marlins have also passed the Braves because they've been one of the hottest teams in baseball of late. And the wild thing to look at is the Marlins have a negative 71 run differential. And they have passed the Braves in the standings. The Braves have a positive run differential, and they are 11 games under 500. Again, the furthest below 500 they have been in 8 years. It's just hard to do this. It does not seem to make sense on its face, but you start to get into the day-to-day watching, and it makes a lot of sense because you think about the number of one-run games the Braves have lost, the most of those in baseball. But the Braves, you know, I mentioned that 2017 season, a year in which they went 72-90. If you look at where they are right now, just based on winning percentage, the Braves are on pace to win 71 games. The 2025 Braves are, at least by the math and the pace and the winning percentage, on pace to be worse than the 2017 team that was at the tail end at that time of the rebuild, though we didn't know what was ahead in 2018. So can your fortunes change? Yes. But mid-season, midstream, with this bunch, with the trends that we're seeing, it's hard to see the light at the end of that tunnel. And if there is a light at the end of that tunnel, I think there's a story about it being a freight train that might be heading in the opposite direction and gaining some significant speed on the Braves. So 73 games remain in this season. Six of those before the All-Star break. Atlanta's going to head out to Sacramento to play the formerly Oakland Athletics in a minor league ballpark, which is good for hitters. Results are pending. We'll see how that goes. But the Braves obviously have had a lot of pitching problems. We're going to have to get into that because you talk about all this losing that they've been doing lately, these series, and how far they've fallen in the standings and the fact that the Braves have been sinking in the standings over the past 2.5 weeks. One of the biggest losses we had on this homestand is Spencer Schwellenbach. As I said at the top of the show, you already knew you were without Chris Sale, an all-star. And now you're going to be without Spencer Schwellenbach, who had an all-star caliber first half, and you're going to be without both of them for multiple months. I mean, you're talking about from going from bad to worse. That's really what you're talking about. But 73 games are left to go before the All-Star break, or excuse me, before the end of the season. Six of those before the All-Star break. If the Braves are to have any hope whatsoever of even being able to circle the wagons and even being able to have a conversation about what they need to do to get better at the trade deadline, they're going to have to win some games in a hurry. And by win some games, I mean they need back-to-back sweeps. And if you've been watching this team the way that I've been watching this team all year long, that just doesn't seem like the most likely outcome. Now, history tells us a lot about being down and then going on a run. The fact that the Miami Marlins are doing what they're doing should tell you that, hey, stranger things have happened. Even a bad team can turn it around, win a few series, go on a winning streak, and then maybe you can start to kind of reevaluate. But I can't tell you that the Marlins at 40 and 48 are fancying themselves as a contender all of a sudden. There's a very good chance that they head on toward the trade deadline, move a couple of trade chips, maybe see what they can get for Sandy Alcantara, and call it a season and continue doing what the Marlins do every year, which is develop some major league talent, let them hang out for a couple years in Miami, and then ship them off somewhere else and let them, you know, do whatever it is they're going to do. But from the glass house that we're standing in, you can't really throw stones even at the Marlins at this point. But for the Braves, it's not a question of, you know, trading everybody off every couple of years. It's certainly not a question of tearing it all down to the studs and starting over. But you've got to find some answers. And these answers, I mean, it doesn't matter what question is asked. At this point, there is no answer. No one can provide the answer for why the Braves offense went from being one of the greatest we've ever seen to one where you wonder if they load the bases with nobody out, if they're even going to score a run. And I've been doing this for 21 years. I've never seen anything quite like it in terms of its fascinating frustration level. Runners at second and third, nobody out. Will the Braves score? You could run a poll. And I'm not even trying to throw shade. I'm just saying, like, this is the circumstance they find themselves, and they can't get the ground ball to a middle infielder that gets the runner home from third. They can't lift a sacrifice fly. At this point, might want to see about trying a suicide squeeze every once in a while. I don't know, but something that looks a little bit different. But they're just not getting it done. And they have multiple holes in their lineup. And we are going to talk about this. I'm going to have Nick Green of FanDuel Sports join me a little bit later this hour for a conversation about just the overall hitting woes of this club and how it got to this level, how it sunk to this level for an Atlanta Braves club that, if you look at it, again, on paper, where the game is most certainly not played, has the majority of the team in what should be the prime of its career, to the point where Marcell Ozuna, who has had back-to-back all-star caliber years and had the club seemingly on his back all last year in 2024, you know, once he started to go through what he's gone through this year, you could look at it and say, all right, well, that's an appropriate age for an injury to maybe slow you down. But you look at Ozzie Albies in his late 20s, you look at Michael Harris in his early to mid-20s, that certainly doesn't make any sense at all. Austin Riley's gone through it this year from a perspective of being able to do the things he wants to do at the plate. I've talked to Austin about it. I've heard him talk to other people about it. The damage is not there. The home runs, the power, the extra base hits, they've not been there. Where does it come from? How do you get it back? How did you lose it to begin with? I mean, baseball is a difficult and humbling game, that's for sure. But to go without answers for this long, and to not be able to find the settings to start to adjust it individually and collectively, I can't even begin to make sense of it. And then Tim Hyers came in the midst of last year's disappointment, and 2025 somehow seems to have gotten even worse with a brand new hitting coach. And I talked to Brian Snitker about this a week ago, or a little over a week ago now. And it's not the preparation, it's not the work, it's not the information. It seems to be once the game starts and guys go up and stand in that batter's box, that things just go sideways and nobody can do it for you. That's for sure. So how do they make the changes they need to make, and how quickly can they make them? Because time is running out for the Braves. This is, to me, this next six games, the last stand. If you're going to make anything of this season, you better get to the All-Star break with some kind of momentum, because if you get to the other side and you've lost a couple of more series and you continue to sink double-digit games under 500, there's no real historical precedent for clubs with 70-ish games left being able to turn around all of a sudden and win 100 games when they're sitting at under 40 on July the 6th. Just doesn't work that way. And I got some other numbers that aren't going to be a whole lot of fun. We're going to get into them on this show about what exactly the Braves would have to do and the pace that they would have to be on just to get into what we would call the line, the conversation of getting one of those wild card spots based on the last couple of years. We'll get into this week in Braves baseball. We will break down some of the things that went wrong this past week. I'll be joined by Nick Green, as I mentioned, to discuss Atlanta's hitting problems. I've also got Melanie Newman of the Baltimore Orioles broadcast team. I got a chance to sit down with her over the weekend as the Orioles took all three games from the Braves, unfortunately. You hear that chat as well. But when we come back, we'll dive into it. This Week in Braves Baseball, and From the Diamond with Grant McCauley on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app, and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Now, more From the Diamond with Grant McCauley. Brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer from Mark Spain Real Estate. 855-299-SOLD on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back into From the Diamond with Grant McCauley on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're live from the Kia Studios, closing out the weekend, and the Braves closed out a series with the Baltimore Orioles that flat out could not have gone much worse for them. That might be the understatement. Swept at home in a three-game set by a team that came in pretty much in the same boat that you were in A disappointing season, needing wins in the worst way. The Orioles got three of them. The Braves suffered three more losses, and it pushed them to 11 games under 500 for the first time since the end of the 2017 season. I mentioned a season in which they lost 90 games. They went 72-90 in their win pace right now for 2025, if you're curious, or if you already heard because I said it earlier. They're on pace for 71 wins this year. If you didn't think it had gotten to a certain point where you need to be alarmed, well, then you're probably lying to me and or yourself or both, but the alarms have been sounded. And now as the season starts to wind into that All-Star break, you really have to wonder what's ahead for this team and what in the world they can do to play a better and more consistent brand of baseball. And that's a question that they've been asking themselves. That's a question that we've been asking as onlookers, whether casual or otherwise, for this club this year. So the Braves, I mentioned that if they wanted to get into the wild card race, that they would need to get to probably the 89-win plateau. That seems to be about where the mark of delineation is for if you want to get into that third spot. The Braves, the Diamondbacks, and the Mets all finished with 89 wins last year. The Mets got in. The Braves got in by virtue of a tiebreaker over the Diamondbacks, who had exactly as many wins as the Braves did. And the Diamondbacks, by the way, last year, in case you may have forgotten, scored more runs than any other team in baseball. And they got to sit at home for their troubles, and they're obviously having a tough year this year, trying to get themselves picked up by the bootstraps. But if you want to get to 89 wins in the final 73 games, the Braves would need to go 50-23. That is 685 baseball. 685 baseball, that's going to be tough. There's not too many teams that are going to be doing that, that's for sure. And when you look at why the Braves are where they are, well, you can point most days to the offense. And while their pitching has certainly begun to show the ill effects of losing key members, especially in the rotation, it's the offense that continues to disappoint this club. In not winning any of their past five series over the stretch of 15 games, the Braves have scored 3.3 runs per game. That's a 15-game rolling average there, 3.3 runs per game. If you break it down, though, further, and this is where it gets really, really frustrating, 28 of those 45 runs the Braves have scored over that particular time came in just four games. That's just not going to play. So 28 of the 49 runs, I should say, came in just four games. That means that the other 17 runs came in the other 11 games. You're scoring a run and a half per game, it's going to be very tough to win baseball games in the major leagues. It just doesn't allow for any margin for error, but the Braves pitching staff has been operating under those parameters pretty much all year long. And the offense can't be carried by a couple of men, no matter how good they are, no matter how well they're swinging the bat. Ronald Acuna Jr. cooled off this week. I can see how that would coincide with the Braves' run scoring being more difficult to come by. And at least Matt Olson is the only other ultra-productive hitter, and he has been ultra-productive. Make no mistake, Matt Olson has been one of the best first basemen in baseball this year, and he has been on quite a run here lately as well. But one or two guys is not going to do it. I think the Braves are getting a lot of production out of their catching duo, and we saw something on Sunday that might be worth discussing. Is it kind of time to at least rotate through the DH spot? Even though you want to get some of these guys some time off, Sean Murphy has been flexing his muscles lately, another home run on Sunday. Drake Baldwin has been a very impressive rookie. Do you want to find him some more at-bats? Well, we saw Brian Snitker finally do it on Sunday as Ronald Acuna Jr. got a day of rest, and Marcell Ozuna was also out of the lineup. Could we see some more of that moving forward? That's one question. The real question, though, to me is, should we see some more of that moving forward? And I think the answer to that is yes. So Marcell Ozuna, just kind of looking into his numbers, we know the hip's going to be an issue for him, but just going back to the end of April, this is not something that's just been a tough month for Marcell. Since April the 28th, he's batting .209 with six home runs. That's a span of 60 games. You add that to the offense you're not getting from either your middle infielders, left field, and center field. It's just too many spots in your lineup that aren't producing, especially at one time. It makes it difficult to string the hits together and create the big innings that would turn the Braves offense around. Now, Jurickson Profar came back this week, homered in his first couple of games back. Now, he's also just one guy. Should it help? Sure. Getting rid of Alex Verdugo alone, getting him out of the lineup helps because that wasn't working. That didn't work at all. I watched Alex Verdugo play for, what, two-plus months? I'm not even sure if the guy flew out on the warning track at any point. in that entire stint with the Braves. He just had no power whatsoever. And obviously that productivity, or lack thereof, wasn't helping the Braves out at all. It was a pretty easy call to make that move. Now, Profar, we caught up with him earlier this week. He did take accountability for the fact that something happened. As for how exactly it happened, that remains, I don't know, the ever goalpost moving. I don't know how it got into the thing that I took, but I would have never knowingly done it. I think we've heard that story enough to know that, you know, make up your own mind if you want to. The bottom line, though, is he served his 80-game suspension. He is back. And the Braves are hoping that his versatility, both as a switch hitter and a guy who makes contact and has good on-base skills and a little bit of power, will help somewhere in the lineup. Right now, he's hitting in the middle of the order. He could hit at the top of the order, which we saw on Sunday when Ronald Acuna Jr. got a day off. But I wouldn't foresee a whole bunch of days off for number 13, at least not by choice. You got to get that guy back in there. And the Braves need to figure out a way to get more hitters in there and going at the same time. But this is not a broken record, though it may sound like it. Atlanta just continues to be unable to do that. And Michael Harris II got last weekend off. He's just 4 for his last 22 since coming back to the lineup, though, and hasn't drawn a walk in 41 games. I mean, stop me if you've heard this stuff before, but it's just too many guys heading in the wrong direction for the Braves offense to create opportunity or to cash in on the opportunities that they've had, and there have been plenty of those. Now, you put that on top of the fact that you're continuing to suffer losses in the pitching staff. That's where this story starts to get dimmer and dimmer, and the outlook becomes grimmer and grimmer for the Braves. And this week it was Spencer Schwellenbach. The Chris Sale news was bad enough. And Chris Sale, having another transcendent season, ticketed for the All-Star game. I think Spencer Schwellenbach, had he been healthy, would have gotten that opportunity as well. He certainly pitched well enough for it. 7-4 with a 3.09 ERA, leading the majors in, or at least the National League, in innings pitched. And strikeouts to walks. Goes 7 innings, strikes out 12, looks great against the Phillies. Wakes up the next day with arm pain. And then things just went off the rails. He lands on the injured list with a fractured right elbow. We caught up with Spencer Schwellenbach this week to hear exactly what it was that happened and where we go from here. Here's Braves pitcher Spencer Schwellenbach describing what exactly he felt after that start on June 28th against the Phillies when he woke up the next day.
During the game, I'm not in second or third inning or whatever. I started feeling what I thought was tightness at the time. And, I mean, I've pitched through a lot. I pitched with a torn UCL in college. And it was like, you know, it wasn't that. Just thought it was tightness. And so I went as far as I could. And they took me out of the game. And was in the training room after and just like, yeah, man, this feels really tight. And then woke up the next day and was like, whoa, this is a little bit more than tightness. So came in and we talked about it and decided to get some imaging. And we did imaging on Monday. Sunday was just like trying to do the normal treatment routine after a start. And just nothing was really getting better. So we decided to, like I said, do some imaging on it.
And that imaging that the Braves did on Schwellenbach's right elbow revealed a fracture in the coronoid process of his right elbow. So, long story short, the ulna connects at the elbow. It's one of the two bones in the forearm. Typically, to fracture that, especially where it is in the joint of the elbow, that points to some instability of some sort or a dislocation. Either way, we know that the act of pitching is pretty unnatural, throwing high 90s on a regular basis. You're putting a lot of stress on that joint, and unfortunately for Schwellenbach, that stress created the fracture in his elbow. It begs the obvious question, though. Yes, you have a fractured elbow, but how quickly can it heal? How quickly can you be back? What is your outlook for it? Spencer Schwellenbach talked about that, as well as what might have been the actual root cause of his injury.
Because it's bone, they said just basically until it feels better, and then maybe rescan, and if it looks good, then start the throwing, but like I said, it's just kind of based on how I feel. Just use the term like freak accident. Honestly, I think from the bump and velo that I've had the last month, maybe just the elbow wasn't ready for it. But who knows? Like they said, it could have been anything.
For Schwellenbach, this injury couldn't have come at a worse time. Not that there's ever a great time for an injury, but he recognized immediately the stress that has been put on the starting rotation after losing Chris Sale most recently, but you can also put A.J. Smith-Shawver and Reynaldo Lopez on that list. Schwellenbach was hoping that this would be the time, maybe perhaps more important than any, that he could step up and help this team get through what has been a definite challenge to the starting staff.
I mean, that sucks. As Sale went down, and as a staff, we knew we had to kind of pick up some slack, and now this happens, and I feel horrible. Set a goal for myself to be healthy and throw a bunch of innings, and just really sucks.
Then, of course, there's what the Braves have been dealing with seemingly all season long, really dating back to last year. The outlook for this club that just can't seem to get everything going at the same time, whether that's the pitching's going, the offense is not, whether it's just a pile of injuries on both sides of the ball, but particularly right now, as far as pitching is concerned, it does seem like things have gotten a bit grim in that outlook. Spencer Schwellenbach was asked, does he believe this team still has what it takes to make the most of what's left in their season to ultimately reach their goal of going to the playoffs?
Similar to last year. I mean, we made a playoff run and got to the playoffs through all those injuries. I don't see why we can't do it again. I mean, this team's persevered through a lot in the last couple of years, and I think we're getting Profar back, and so that's a plus, and just going at it every day trying to win games.
Well, as we've talked about on the show and been talking about for quite a while, the Braves' playoff outlook and the numbers surrounding that in terms of where they are in both the division and the wild card, not exactly deficits that feel easily overcome by really any team, but especially one that has struggled as much as the Braves have this year. Brian Snitker knows this better than anybody, and he was asked what his thoughts were on the most recent injury to this pitching staff and where the club can turn to cover even more innings.
No, I mean, that was a tough one right there. I mean, I think started the year with five and lost four, you know, starters. It's just hard in any organization to cover that depth. So, yeah, I mean, it seems like every day it's something else. But you know what? We got to hang in there and you know, give guys opportunities. I always say, you know, it's an opportunity for somebody to do something really good. And, you know, we're going to still come to the ballpark and fight the fight every day and prepare and go out there and win a ball game.
And to wrap up the Schwellenbach discussion, from an individual standpoint, this was a kid who was having an outstanding season, an all-star worthy season. Brian Snitker discussed just how difficult it is to watch a young pitcher, one who has really established himself very quickly as perhaps one of the best in the National League, go down with an injury that could sideline him for an undetermined amount of time.
No, I hate it for him. I mean, the way he's going, the confidence that he has, what he's bringing to our club. I mean, the consistency and the starts and all that. You know, he just keeps getting better. And it's tough for anybody when they go through that. But, you know, I hate it. Like I say, I always hate it for the individual more than us, quite honestly. But he'll get through this and learn from it and, you know, continue with his career.
No question about it, but it is a difficult blow both for the team and for the player, Spencer Schwellenbach, who was transferred to the 60-day IL on Sunday, so he will be out until at least early September. Meanwhile, we got more to talk about when it comes to the Braves and trying to find the answers for the offense. I'll be joined by Nick Green of FanDuel Sports up next. We'll talk all about it right here on From the Diamond with Grant McCauley on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views. The cool waterfall mist during a hot hike. And the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors. With more than 450,000 trails around the world, points of interest along the trail, and offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho?
comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Baseball. Talking Braves and beyond.
Baseball.
With From the Diamond. From the Diamond is brought to you by Window Nation. Get two windows free with every two you buy and pay nothing for 2 years. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back to From the Diamond with Grant McCauley here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. As we continue to discuss this week in Braves baseball, I want to welcome in someone who's got a little bit more tangible hands-on experience than I have when it comes to actually staring down a big league hitter, and he's going to help me make heads or tails out of the struggles and the doldrums that this group individually and collectively has found itself in. He is Nick Green of FanDuel Sports. You can catch him on the pre- and post-game shows. You can also catch him in a variety of other roles, including a little bit of radio work. Well, Nick, it's always great to see you around the ballpark. Always great to chat baseball with you. Unfortunately, the 2025 Braves have been a rather tough conversation that I think you know all too well when it comes to trying to figure out what's going on with this club, right?
It's frustrating, no doubt about it. I think the most frustrating part about it is we had high expectations for them, and I think everybody did, and they have not lived up to them. I don't know if I've ever seen a season like this where you've had this type of talent on a team that struggled this badly. And it feels like every time something goes right, something else goes wrong. So it's just a constant battle of trying to figure things out, and I don't know if anybody has the answers.
Let's kind of start at the beginning, which is always a great spot. To you, I know we look at last year, 2024, as maybe an aberration because there were a lot of injuries that affected the Braves lineup. But I want to flash back to 2023 and say, does that kind of feel like an outlier of a season? Because Brian Snitker lately has kind of been saying that's its own thing. We can't necessarily look at that and have the expectation that the bar is that high. But I guess the question in all this is, how did it go from that to what we're seeing now?
That's a good question. I don't think 2023 was sustainable, and I don't think anybody does. But I think that what we're seeing this year is an outlier as well. I feel like there's just been so many different things going on with this club. Do they have the talent to do it? Yes, absolutely. Did the Profar suspension hurt them? When I go back and look at this season, I'm probably going to say that's the biggest issue with this club. Him being suspended, not being able to lengthen the lineup, not being able to hit in multiple spots in the order, not showing other guys the approach that he has to be able to be patient, be able to foul pitches off, be able to hit with two strikes, all those things. The switch hitting aspect of it was big too. So I feel like that was kind of the biggest blow to this club, and it happened so early that nobody really recovered. And a lot of times when things like that happen, other guys try to step up. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you try to do a little bit too much and then it ends up snowballing. There are obviously other factors involved too. I think if Michael Harris and Ozzie Albies would have hit a little bit so far, you could see this team being at least at 500, if not four or five games over 500. But those guys have struggled badly too. And I don't have the answers to it other than I feel like this is just a bad season all the way around, and nobody has come together and gotten it going at the same time, which typically you see teams do. In 2023, that was the outlier because everybody was going at the same time.
Yeah.
And that's hard to expect. You can't expect that every year. But do they have the potential to hit similar to what they did in 2023? Absolutely. But it just hasn't happened.
No, it certainly hasn't. It's interesting you bring up Profar because, and I've said this on the show, I think I've said this, I'm sure you've talked about this at length. It's not about one guy being the difference between the Braves being where they are and being where they want to be. But when you start to add up the cumulative effect of, you know, not having Ronald Acuña Jr. for a couple of months, that's certainly a factor. He's awfully good and could change the dynamics of things. But since Ronald has come back, it seems like the Braves have had even more trouble scoring runs, which just doesn't make sense in any math, in any equation whatsoever. But not having Profar, not having Ronald for a while, not having the production that you need out of several spots in the lineup, I mean, if you count it up, there's about four places that you can look at in this lineup that just aren't producing, even to just league norms or league average. And that is a big reason why a club that you can, when you do get inside the numbers, look at the run differential, wonder why the Braves are where they are, and then start to look at all those one-run losses. So maybe it's the butterfly effect, like you said, of losing Profar, kind of the destabilization of the lineup, because he may not have been a guy that could win 8, 9, 10 games all by himself, but what could the effect have been of having a stable lineup, a more normal lineup, over the course of the first 2 or 3 months of this season? I mean, your swing is basically 15 or 20 more runs for the Braves this year. They could be the inverse of their record right now, which is a crazy thing to think about.
Yeah, I agree 1,000%. And you're right. I mean, you don't typically think a guy like Profar could make that big of an impact on a season in a lineup. But what he could do and what he could help produce, especially since they've had so many close games, it's like every little thing matters. And every little thing has mattered in the wrong way this year. So if you could have gotten a little bit of production from him in different areas, maybe they win some of those one-run games. They aren't so bad in them. Maybe they push that run differential up a little bit more, and you see a few more wins involved in there as well. And actually, I saw something. You probably saw this the other day, too. I think the Braves have, like, three guys within the top 12 or something like that of runners left on base in 2025, and you cannot do that. I mean, if you have one, fine, but they have three, and it's Austin Riley, Michael Harris, and Marcell Ozuna, I believe. And so, obviously, Ozuna's hip has been an issue, and he's struggled too. But at the same time, you have to have other guys that are able to produce when they need to produce, and it just has not happened, period.
Let's talk a little bit about the change that the Braves made over the course of the offseason. When we talked to Alex Anthopoulos and Brian Snitker initially after they were dismissed in the wild card by the Padres last October, it didn't really sound like much was going to change. They expected the coaching staff to be back. The next thing you know, they decided to change hitting coaches. Kevin Seitzer was here for a decade. I have a lot of respect for what he was able to accomplish and just the coach that he was over that period of time. You know this better than most. You played this game at the highest level for a very long time. Everybody has their own individual personality, their own individual needs and outlooks on what it is that makes them successful and trying to navigate through the highs and the lows of a Major League Baseball season. So it's a hitting coach. Austin Riley said this in spring training, and Snit said this the other day. Maybe the toughest job of any coach in all of baseball. I think Tim Hyers is seeing that as he came in and inherited a club that really wasn't itself last year and somehow has gotten further away from what I feel like it's capable of this year. How do you make heads or tails of what exactly it is that Tim Hyers inherited and how exactly it is you find your way out of this deep, dark forest that they seem to be very lost in right now?
Well, I kind of feel like it was the right move just to try to shake things up and maybe have a new beginning with Hyers, and he's obviously had some success with other clubs as well. I don't know if his approach to what he wants the guys to do and their philosophy has affected the guys in any way, but I do feel like what I've seen so far this year is guys guessing a little bit too much. Now, I guess Dean Kramer yesterday, they had a pretty good approach, and it felt like they were looking fastballs and adjusting up the fastball for the most part. And to me, that's kind of where you need to stay. Now, there are certain counts that you want to guess in because you know what's probably going to come, and it's okay to guess in those counts. But I've seen way too many strike threes that are fastballs right down the middle, mm-hmm. first pitch fastballs right down the middle, and either that or you're late on a fastball that's hittable. And if you're going to hit in the big leagues, you have to hit the fastball. And I feel like that's been one of the issues with this club. And I don't know if it's something that Hires was trying to preach as far as let's make sure we have good swing decisions. And they're taking it a little bit too far where they're guessing and using the data a little bit too much. But it sure feels like that's kind of happening with this club. And that's the frustrating part to me, too, because there have been so many hittable pitches for this team that they have not hit. They've either fouled it off, taken it, or swung and missed.
Yeah,
and you cannot do that at the big league level with guys throwing as hard as they do and the stuff they have. If you miss that one pitch, that might be the only pitch you get to hit. And we said that for years at the big league level, but the stuff is so good. You cannot do that. And I feel like there's just been a change in approach to a degree that has caused them to not be on the fastball consistently.
Yeah, and that's something that, as you mentioned, it just can't be that way as a big league hitter. Yes, the guys are throwing harder than ever. Yes, guys are spinning it more so than ever. I mean, I know Spencer Schwellenbach is not necessarily the norm of a major league pitcher, but, I mean, that's a guy that throws six different pitches in just about any different count. So the guessing game is not going to get you very far as a big league hitter. Nobody wants to feel like they're just up there guessing as well. But as far as trying to, I guess, figure out what the best plan of attack is, maybe it does come down to something as simple as making the right decisions at the plate. And I say simple, meaning maybe that's the goal there, but obviously how you do it, how you accomplish it, that seems to be the moving goalposts, if you will. Mm-hmm. Chatting with Nick Green of FanDuel Sports, of course, former major leaguer and Atlanta Brave as well. Got a little insight on this whole hitting thing. Nick, you've been around the game for a very, very long time. We talked about Tim Hires coming in. You mentioned the change of the message, and maybe it takes a while to get on where everybody's singing from the same sheet of music, if you will. But there are a couple of guys that have been off-key all season long. Michael Harris, you brought up. We all know he's infinitely more talented than we're seeing this year, but it seems like if anybody is going through it this year to the highest possible level or the worst possible degree, it's Michael Harris. What are you seeing from him, and what changes or adjustments do you think that he can make that could start to get him back to just being the player that seemed to be able to simplify the game pretty well, but talented players obviously are kind of able to do that?
Yeah, and if you look at any big league hitter, there's going to be a point in their career where they struggle and they get out of what their approach is and what they want to do, and their confidence level ends up going down. I've never seen Michael not confident in himself, but it feels like right now he's going through it. And I think there are a couple things that could help him out. Number one, just a mechanical adjustment where he's able to stay back and sit on his back leg. He's a big, powerful guy, and I feel like he's jumping too much. The head's moving too much towards the pitcher, and he starts to get steep with a swing. Once your head moves, your hands go with it, then you start chasing even more than normal. His chase rate's always been pretty high, but he's chasing balls that are not even close right now. And so that there are two things with that. Number one, mechanics are a little bit off, so it's not allowing him to see the ball and make the decision later. And number two is that confidence level of, okay, I don't know exactly what they're going to throw to me, but I'm going to try to hit anyway because I know I've been struggling. Mm-hmm. And he's not trusting himself. And then what you see in return is you take a pitch and it's right down the middle.
Yeah.
Or you get into a 2-0 count. He did this yesterday, 2-0 count. They paint a fastball down and away. 2-1 pitch, paint down and away, maybe a little bit off, and he chases it down there instead of sticking with his approach because he's trying a little bit too hard to make something happen. And it's tough to get out of those situations. We've seen him do it before, but we've seen him do it before. He had struggled, then he had gotten hurt, gone to the IL, been able to refresh the mind a little bit and get back to where he needs to be. Right now, he can't do that because he's been playing pretty much every day. So it's a challenge for any big leaguer, and it's been a big challenge for him this year.
Yeah, and a couple of days off might allow you to clear your head, but it's not necessarily going to fix all the mechanical or approach issues that you might be fighting in a given season. I think that's kind of been, I don't want to say it's necessarily misguided, but a lot of folks have just thought, okay, we'll give him a couple of days off. Still more folks might think, all right, let him go figure it out in the minor leagues. And the answer to that is, of course, all right, who are you going to play in his place? Because Jared Kelnick hasn't played well. Obviously, the Alex Verdugo thing did not go well, and he's now off the roster. who would play in center field. And I know the defense is great. Maybe it's not enough to make up for some of the struggles of Harris, but when you don't have a good alternative, it just puts the club in a steeper and more difficult position to be in, for sure. Wrapping up here with Nick Green of FanDuel Sports here on From the Diamond with Grant McCauley on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. He joins me on the WadeFord.com hotline. Let's look ahead as best we can. The Atlanta Braves are now in the month of July. We know the All-Star break is right around the corner next week. A couple of weeks after that, obviously, it is nut-cutting time, as they like to say. The Braves have to figure out what they are, and right now, I think, Nick, we can look at the standings and say they are in a predicament. It has to make it difficult for Alex Anthopoulos to size up what exactly to do for this club. You know he wants to try to do something, but, Nick, I don't know about you. I don't know that they can afford to wait three or four more weeks to get the help in here.
No, I don't know what – I actually don't know what to do either, because when you think about where they are in the standings, they're 8 games out of a wild card spot right now, and it's not too far out, but you look at this homestand, they're 2-7 on the homestand so far. Mm-hmm. They should have taken 2 or 3 from Anaheim. They should have taken 2 or 3 from Baltimore. They haven't been able to do that, and now it's put Alex in a pretty bad spot. Do you continue to wait and figure out what you need to do? The other question is, who do you get and how does that help you? Obviously, starting pitching is a big issue right now with Schwellenbach and Sale on the IL. But how can you get a starter and what do you have to give up for that? And is that going to make a big difference? Mm-hmm. Because every time they struggled, it's boiled down to the offense. It hasn't been the pitching. Now, the pitching is deficient right now. But at the same time, do you think the offense can be consistent? They haven't shown it.
Right.
So is it worth going to get a starter and giving something up when that might not make a difference?
Yeah, it's starting to feel a bit like a lost season, which is something you hate to have to say before the first half is even really over, I guess, at least as far as the All-Star break's concerned. But we're more than 50% of the way there. And at some point, you know, you are what the record says you are. You are what the numbers say you are. And that's kind of the difficulty of the game of baseball. There's a lot of it that's mental, a lot of it that's physical. And then ultimately, statistically speaking, it'll tell you over the course of a given season where exactly you are and what's possible. And for the Braves right now, as you mentioned, it just doesn't feel like it's the most possible or probable thing to watch them put it all together over the final 70 or so games. Nick, I appreciate all of your time as always. Love catching you on the broadcast and seeing you around the ballpark, and look forward to doing it again soon.
Yeah, thanks, Grant. Anytime, man.
All right, when we come back, we will turn our attention to what else is happening across the world of baseball as we take our trip around the big leagues. Next on From the Diamond with Grant McCauley on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back to Grant McCauley for more From the Diamond. Brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer from Mark Spain Real Estate, 855-299-SOLD, on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back in to From the Diamond with Grant McCauley on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We close out the weekend, unfortunately, on the heels of another Braves loss, a series loss, and the latest and furthest low that the Braves have fallen to in quite some time. Make it 8 years, as a matter of fact, as they're 11 games under 500. They're 13.5 games out in the East, and also a steep hill to climb, almost 9 games, I believe, in the wild card, at least 8.5 at this point as of Sunday evening. So the Braves season very quickly has become difficult to imagine them reaching the highs that they wanted to not 3 months ago when they got ready for the opening road trip of the year with the same expectation they have every year, which is to punch their ticket to the postseason and beyond. We'll talk a little bit more about that, of course, later on. And as you just heard from my conversation with Nick Green, it would help to score some runs. Braves are going to need to do that. It would help to hit a bunch of home runs. And you know somebody who's hitting a bunch of home runs? Well, his name's Cal Raleigh. He's the catcher for the Seattle Mariners. By this time, you have probably heard of the guy that they affectionately call Big Dumper out in Seattle. One of the biggest sluggers in baseball you may not have expected when the season began. And as I said last week, not because he can't hit the home runs, but because he's doing it at an incredible pace. Take a listen to what he did over the weekend.
High fly ball. Way back there. It's a career high 35th home run. Happy Independence Day, Cal Raleigh. He has now tied Ken Griffey Jr. for the most home runs ever hit before the All-Star break. History continues for Cal Raleigh.
The incredible power display that is Cal Raleigh. The fireworks were going on the 4th of July for him. Not just home run number 35, as you heard there, but he'd already hit one in that game. So 34 and 35 for him. And that first homer of the game, hardest hit ball of his career. So he seems to show no signs of slowing down as he approaches the All-Star break. But he's making some incredible home run history in terms of pace. Only Barry Bonds with 39. Chris Davis, Mark McGwire, and Reggie Jackson, and Luis Gonzalez, who each had 37 home runs apiece, have hit more home runs to this point of the season. And Raleigh still has the rest of this week to try to catch up with the aforementioned Bonds, who you might remember when he had the 39 before the All-Star break, went on to hit 73 home runs. Raleigh is on a pace right now in the high 60s, which is incredible when you consider he's doing all of this while playing the most grueling position that baseball has to offer behind the plate for Seattle. Those two home runs also give him 7 multi-homer games already this season. The only player who has achieved or hit more multi-homer games before the All-Star break was Reggie Jackson with 8 of those in his rookie season. So just some incredible company, Hall of Fame company for the most part here for Cal Raleigh. And 2 weeks ago, you might remember when he hit his 29th home run, he became the catcher with the most home runs ever before the All-Star break. That was 2 weeks ago. Now he is rubbing elbows with some of the biggest sluggers and biggest seasons ever in baseball history as far as home runs are concerned, and he continues to add to this. His 30th home run, by the way, which happened, what, over a week ago now, that was the most home runs by a switch hitter before the All-Star break. So you talk about some history. This guy's been making it and then some, and you can see Cal Raleigh in the home run derby at the All-Star game or the All-Star week festivities right here at Truist Park on the 14th of July. Should be some fireworks going off then. And Raleigh, as I mentioned last week, might do something we've only seen one other time in the Home Run Derby's history, and that is switch hit during a round. Adley Rutschman did it a couple of years ago. It was pretty cool. But Adley Rutschman, as far as home runs are concerned, hasn't done anything close to what Cal Raleigh has done. And as I just read, very, very few players have. Speaking of a club that very few players have joined, especially lately, how about the 3,000 strikeout club, which grew by one as Clayton Kershaw made some history on Wednesday night at Dodger Stadium.
Clayton Kershaw, one strikeout away from 3,000. The ravine rises, ready to erupt. 3K for Kershaw! The 20th pitcher in baseball history. The fourth left-handed pitcher. But only the third to record 3,000 career strikeouts with one team. Clayton Edward Kershaw.
You get the full name treatment right there as well. That's when you know you've either done something really good or something really bad. In my case, that's what I'd hear when I was younger. You get the whole name. So anyway, it was something really good for Clayton Kershaw. 3,000 strikeouts in what is easily a Hall of Fame career. He should glide in. One of the best pitchers I've ever seen. One of the best pitchers of any generation. And on Wednesday night at Dodger Stadium, he became the 20th pitcher in Major League Baseball history, AL and National League, to record 3,000 strikeouts. It was Vinny Capra who was the strikeout victim. It was the 100th and final pitch of the game in the sixth inning for Clayton Kershaw, who got a huge standing ovation and obviously another milestone for a pitcher who's going to breeze his way into Cooperstown. Justin Verlander was the last pitcher in Major League Baseball to reach 3,000. He did it in, 2019? And actually, Max Scherzer did it in 2021. He did it with the Dodgers. So don't let me shortchange them. I knew both those guys had gotten there, and they're obviously at the ends of their respective careers as well and have joined the club. So the question became, and I saw this article, who is the next pitcher or pitchers that could join the 3,000 strikeout club? Because you might know a little thing about the starting pitcher over the last really 15 to 20 years. They throw fewer innings. So that means a couple of things. Your milestone stats, your counting stats, they're going to go down. So some of these things that we may have grown up on, like 3,000 strikeouts or 300 wins or even 200 wins or throwing 250 innings in a season. Man, even throwing 200 innings in a season seems to be a big deal these days. The pitcher has continued to evolve, and that means some of these things are going to be harder to get. So I saw an article on MLB.com wondering who the next pitcher or pitchers could be to join Clayton Kershaw in the 3,000 strikeout club. And one of these names, awfully familiar. That'd be Chris Sale. He's 36 years old this year, and Sale is sitting on 25-28. And he also has the highest strikeout rate of any starting pitcher in Major League Baseball history. So a healthy Chris Sale, I think, is going to get there. He's got to get less than 500 before he retires. So even if he's able to just kind of average out 120 to 140 a year if he pitches into what is age 39 season. He should be knocking on the door at 3,000, but as the Braves are certainly hoping, Chris Sale can do a little bit more of what he was doing in 24 and a little less of having to spend time on the injured list, which was unfortunately just a freaky fluke injury for him this time around. So Chris Sale is on the list. Gerrit Cole was the next one. He's 34 years old, but of course he's out with an elbow injury. Career strikeout rate is over 10 per nine, but at 2251, he needs, 750-ish strikeouts to get there. Can he get that 750 in his run-up to maybe his age 40 season? And that, of course, is presupposing that he pitches to his age 40 season. And obviously, he just re-upped with the Yankees, so he's got a long-term contract. I think they're kind of hoping he will. But when is he going to get back, and what version of Gerrit Cole will come back after that, because he's in his mid-30s coming back from Tommy John, a very different thing for him. I'm not sure he gets there. I'm going to say he gets close, but is not going to get there. And then there was a list of great careers, just not enough time, not enough innings left to throw. Yu Darvish is over 2,000, but he's age 38 this year. Kevin Gausman, what a name to be talking about on this list. He's closing in on 2,000, but he's 34. Then you got Sonny Gray, who's 35 this year. He's closing in on 2,000. Jacob deGrom, I mean, this is one of the greatest strikeout pitchers of any generation, but unfortunately, injuries and a late start. If you remember, deGrom didn't come up till his mid-20s. I'm not sure he's got the gas in the tank, if you will, to make it there. He's 37 this year. He's at 1,766 Ks. And then you've got Zach Wheeler, who's just over 1,760 as well, just behind Jacob deGrom. But he's 35 years old, and as we talked about a couple of weeks ago on the show, Zach Wheeler has really not made a secret about the fact that he may just play the last couple of years of his contract in Philly and call it a career. And just not keep pitching until his late 30s and early 40s, perhaps the likes of Scherzer and Verlander. So very interesting development there, and not something I expected to hear. But, hey, if the guy's got a plan and he's got retirement on his mind, I'm sure he'd like to spend some time with the family, and he's certainly done enough in his big league career. If he can maybe win a World Series ring, that might entice him. We'll see, though. And we're not necessarily pulling for that kind of thing for anybody wearing a Phillies uniform. Putting that aside, though, let's talk a little bit about the All-Star game. There will be some people there wearing Phillies uniforms, but not too many of those. All-Star rosters are now out. It was released on ESPN in a selection show that ran on Sunday night. Let's start with the American League. You, of course, know the starting lineup is Cal Raleigh of the Mariners catching. Vlad Guerrero Jr. is at first base of Toronto. Gleyber Torres of the Tigers at second. Jacob Wilson, the A's shortstop, is also up the middle. Jose Ramirez of the Guardians at third base. Then you've got an outfield of Aaron Judge, Riley Green, Javier Baez. Wow, blast from the past. What a year he's having. And then you got Ryan O'Hearn, who's the Orioles DH, who will round out that starting lineup for the American League. You then get the catcher Alejandro Kirk of the Blue Jays, Jonathan Aranda of the Tampa Bay Rays, Alex Bregman of Boston, Jazz Chisholm of the Yankees, Brandon Lau of the Rays, Jeremy Pena of the Astros, Bobby Witt Jr. of the Royals. That's your infield. Then you got Brent Rooker, the DH of the A's, Byron Buxton, Stephen Kwan, and Julio Rodriguez, the backup outfielders. Pitching staff, Hunter Brown of the Astros, Chris Bubich of the Royals, Garrett Crochet of the Red Sox. You've got Jacob deGrom of the Rangers, Max Fried of the New York Yankees. Imagine Max Fried pitching to Freddie Freeman at Truist Park, and neither of them are wearing a Braves uniform. Sorry to throw salt in that wound right there. Yusei Kikuchi of the Angels, Tarek Skubal of the Tigers, Shane Smith of the White Sox, Brandon Wu of the Mariners, then three relievers, Aroldis Chapman of the Red Sox, the Astros' Josh Hader, and Andres Munoz of the Mariners rounds out the American League All-Stars. On the National League side, the starting lineup, the Dodgers' Will Smith is catching, Freddie Freeman of the Dodgers at first base, Ketel Marte, the D-backs' second baseman is in there with double play partner Francisco Lindor of the Mets at short, Manny Machado will play third base, he, of course, of the Padres. Your outfield, Ronald Acuna Jr. of the Braves, Pete Crow Armstrong of the Cubs, Kyle Tucker of the Cubs, and the DH, Shohei Dodgers. Reserves, Hunter Goodman, the catcher of the Rockies, Pete Alonso, Mets first baseman, Ellie De La Cruz of the Reds, Brendan Donovan of the Cardinals. You got as well in there, the Braves first baseman, Eugenio Suarez, Kyle Schwarber, Corbin Carroll, Kyle Stowers, Fernando Tatis, James Wood. Those are D-backs, Marlins, Padres, and Nationals representatives there. And then your pitching staff in the National League has Matthew Boyd of the Cubs, Mackenzie Gore of the Nats, Clayton Kershaw of the Dodgers. We just heard a little bit about the history he made this week. The Milwaukee Brewers, Freddie Peralta, then Robbie Ray of the Giants, Chris Sale of the Braves got the nod to pitch in the game. Paul Skenes of the Pirates, Logan Webb of the Giants, Zach Wheeler of the Phillies, Yoshi Yamamoto of the Dodgers, then three relievers, Jason Adam of the Padres, the Mets, Edwin Diaz, and Randy Rodriguez of the Giants will round out the All-Stars for the National League. And, of course, the game, right up the road at Truist Park. Let's round out this little trip around the big leagues with a trip in our way back machine to 1986. Atlanta Fulton County Stadium was the place. The hitter was the Braves' third, Bob Horner, who made some home run history on this day 39 years ago. Take a listen, courtesy of TBS and Pete Van Wieren.
Two outs in the inning with the bases empty, but nobody's going anywhere because here comes Bob Horner. Three home runs in his first three at-bats. Only 10 players have ever hit four in one game. That's one of baseball's most coveted records. There are two outs in the ninth inning. Reardon delivers. There's a fly ball deep left center field. Wright looking up. He did it. He did it. Bob Horner has become the 11th player in baseball history to hit four homers in one game. It's 11-8.
And that was 39 years ago, as Bob Horner was the 11th player in Major League history to hit four home runs in a single game, and to do so in a losing effort as the Braves lost to the Expos that way. There are 19 four-homer games. The last one, also a loser. It was Eugenio Suarez against the Braves on April 25th. My chat with Melanie Newman of the Baltimore Orioles comes up next. We will get to that on From the Diamond with Grant McCauley on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Around the league with more of our From the Diamond with Grant McCauley. From the Diamond is brought to you by Window Nation. Get two windows free with every two you buy and pay nothing for 2 years on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back in to From the Diamond with Grant McCauley on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game here on a Sunday in the Kia Studios as we continue our trip around the big leagues. You just heard some fun stories and headlines and milestones, as the case may be, from the week that was. But this weekend was a fun time to catch up with an old friend of mine at the ballpark, even if what was happening on the field was not so much fun for the Atlanta Braves. Melanie Newman is part of the Orioles broadcast team. She is an Atlanta area product and was back in town. We go way back and have had the opportunity to talk a lot of baseball over the years and share the experiences of just kind of grinding our way through what is a very interesting industry that is very different yet very similar to the product that you see on the field as we've been chasing the dream behind the microphone. I got a chance to sit down with Melanie at Truist Park this weekend as the Braves and Orioles open up their three-game series, and I want to share that conversation with you right now here on From the Diamond with Grant McCauley. Well, always a thrill to sit down at a ballpark with Melanie Newman. The Baltimore Orioles are in town this weekend, and it's great to get a chance to catch up with you. I know you're busy, you're all over the place, but I appreciate your time and look forward to chatting a little baseball with you.
Grant, we've gone back, what, 10, 15,000 years at this point? So yeah, this is always like priority number one.
Well, it's so much fun to get a chance to reconnect with people, and the Braves and the Orioles have a few people to reconnect on the field, but reconnecting in the booth and in the background of everything that goes on in the ballpark for fans, that's really where the fun is had for us. So let me ask you a little bit about this season, because I feel like the Braves and the Orioles, to some extent, may be finding themselves, if they're not in the same boat, they're at least probably off the same pier. Seasons have not gone the way that they wanted them to. I know there's a lot to unpack when it comes to that kind of thing, but what could you put your finger on for the Orioles that just kind of got them off to a bad start that makes it very difficult to dig out of?
Yeah, it's funny because I keep saying, okay, well, the Braves are the National League version of what we're going through right now, and they'll face off, and we've both had coaching changes. I think that's just a little piece of the puzzle that you do put together, because the big picture is injuries. I mean, they're averaging 25 guys on the injured list. They lost five starters last year. Most of them still aren't back at this point. We're now on our fourth catcher, six in total, because Adley Rutschman went down. Maverick Hanley comes up to replace him, goes down an inning into being that replacement, getting a concussion thanks to Jazz Chisholm. And you just keep trying to find the answers from there. So full health has been the biggest picture. Getting Jordan Westberg tonight back in the lineup is a really big piece of that. They haven't had their main third baseman for most of this year, just with a jammed knuckle on his primary hand. Tyler O'Neill has played 24 games. That's not what you sign him for 3 years for. And no one's been more frustrated than him. just having consistent soft tissue problems. But you go back to still missing five starters. John Means has departed for Cleveland, but the rest are still on the Tommy John list. Charlie Morton shows up and the curveball suddenly doesn't curve, doesn't do anything. Yeah. He's figured it out now, and that's been amazing because I've never rooted for someone on a personal level the way you do with guys who are made up like Charlie, who are always gracious, who always take their time, just genuine, great human beings. But you wait for guys to come back and you understand that as frustrating as it is, you don't have those big prospects in AAA to fill in for those injuries anymore because they're here or they're hurt.
Yeah, I talked to Charlie a lot over the past few years, and it was always a conversation I'd walk away from thinking, number one, I learned something. Number two, why did he give me so much time? What in the world could I possibly have had to say to him that would have been that interesting? But what I got from him was exactly what you'd expect, a thoughtful individual who makes an impact on the mound. He also makes an impact behind the scenes. So when you are going through turmoil, which in a rotation, when you lose four of your starters, which the Braves know all about this year as well, I think they might like to have a Charlie Morton. Brian Snitker said as much before the opener on Friday that he's going to root for Charlie and kind of would have liked to have him around this year. And the Braves are going to have to sort it out without him, but they are going to see him on Friday as the Braves and Orioles get started. You mentioned some of the other things that have gone wrong. The Braves signing Jerickson Profar, probably like the O'Neill thing, only maybe a little bit worse because he was suspended for 80 games. You didn't sign up for that, but here they are. The lineup also has not been great for the Braves. From the Orioles' perspective, I guess they've had a lot of moving parts as well. And this season, I think for both clubs, to kind of bring it back to, I guess, the original discussion is, you're not only expecting to go to the postseason, you're expecting to maybe win the division, but it's an ultra-competitive division, the American League East, and it seems like there are at least four viable teams in front of the Orioles that are going to be putting up a fight every single day.
Exactly, and hats off to Tony Mancellino once he took over with Brandon Hyde's dismissal, because he kind of set the bar. He wanted to have this team back at 500 at some point in July. Obviously, we're just getting started, but at 10 games under, you have to play all out just to get to that mark, let alone, like you said, be competitive in the American League East that never really takes a break. So, I've given him a lot of credit. He has instilled more consistency with this group that even the starting pitchers are noticing. He told Jackson Holliday, you're going to be our leadoff guy from now on. We're not platooning. We're not playing every other game. The lineup is going to stop changing so much. And Jackson has flourished off of that, knowing he's the first guy up to bat, knowing he's going to be at second base. Doesn't matter lefties or righties. You're finally seeing him step out of his father's shadow, which for him is just such a revelation and a wonderful situation. Same thing, Ramon Laureano was supposed to be, the specialist, but now he's crushing. And he actually is an extremely huge addition to that clubhouse, just in terms of that Rougned Odor, gritty, yep, doesn't care. And these young guys need that because it's so easy to be a little softer and to be very aware of everything around you. Laureano does not care. I asked him how he felt to be back in Atlanta, and he goes, I don't really care. But then tacks on at the end, this is the favorite team I've ever been with. It's my favorite clubhouse I've ever been with. I didn't even get to see Snitker. And so it's funny to watch the back and forth there. But you've got to have a consistency every day. And they're finally starting to find that rhythm.
Yeah, I think Laureano's another guy that you could put on the list that the Braves, in hindsight, might have liked to have had back. But he has made an impact with the Orioles, a team that is very much fighting to get its season on track as well. Now, we're approaching the midway point of the year. And here in Atlanta, we've got the All-Star Game. There are a few signs hung up around the ballpark. You're from the area. You're going to be in with MLB Network. Tell me a little bit about what's ahead for you and the craziness that is not just the All-Star Game, the Home Run Derby, the celebrity involvement and all the other games, the Futures Game, but we've also got a little thing called the MLB Draft thrown in there for good measure, so it's going to be pretty wild.
It's already wild. People ask me if I have free time to do things, and I say, no, I'm buried under prepping for 1,000 18-year-olds, because between Draft and Futures and everything else, you're right, there's so much to learn. Oh, and by the way, we have to keep up with our day-to-day big league club and what they're doing. But I just, as a Georgia native, growing up 20 minutes from where this park now is, I'm from Marquez's hometown, so I remember the boom that created growing up with the 90s Braves, watching the Braves who were supposed to have the All-Star, sitting here for the World Series, and remembering Hank, and then living in Noonan and being down the road from Will Smith and watching people pack out places to watch him close out that chase. All of it is just like my heart couldn't be heavier in the best way. I just want to explode with pride for the city because I know what it means for them to host this and the work that they've put into it and the stardom that does come with that. So yeah, it's a little crazy right now, especially looking at the way the schedule stacks up. We're here in Atlanta, but we'll go back home to Baltimore for about 4 days before I have to depart from the team early to get back down here for all of that. But we'll be in the Roxy, we'll be on the Plaza to cover all this. We're gonna make some guys' dreams come true, calling their name for the first time and watching them sign a professional contract. And as chaotic and as much of a workload as that is, it's the heaviest workload I have all year. And there's moments where you go, I really can't do this, and you do feel the challenge. It's so satisfying when it's all done to just kind of take it in. And yeah, to do it in my backyard, like there's literally no better feeling. I still look at the photo from 2017 when this place opened that they took, and you and I are captured forever in the press box. And I don't know, it's the best.
Yeah, it is an exciting thing when you get to have those full circle moments. It just makes all of the things you did, all of the games, all the travel, all the miles, all the sleep you lost, a little bit more sweet when you're able to enjoy those kinds of things. Now, you've also gotten to do a lot of other broadcast dreams, goals, whatever you want to call them, maybe a little bit of both, from going to London to be able to do MLB Showcase over there. What other things are on the horizon for you? And I guess maybe more importantly, what other things would you like to do?
I'm doors wide open at this point. You know, I'd love to explore whatever comes up. I love hosting MLB Tonight when we can squeeze in a date. I think our research team, the whole staff, is incredible. And I know we actually lost one of our researchers. He's now a Braves PR guy. So hats off to him for doing that. It's been cool, though. The BBC is by far the most fun project we've had because people in the UK are just so excited to consume the sport. It's a very positive fan base, and you know, they have questions, they want to learn, they love embracing it. So we'll have a game every Sunday in the second half that we'll get to send back over the pond and continue to grow that relationship with them. And hopefully, you know, we have a Europe series again next year if the cards fall the way they should. But yeah, just kind of ear to the ground and looking at what else is out there and how much more we can dive in. I think now that we're fully removed from what COVID did to how we present the game, it's every nook and cranny. And I keep reminding, you know, all of our people who are involved in all of our All-Star planning, wherever you need me, like I'll go. It's a challenge that you're always looking for, because I still look back at the days that I was scooping buckets of water off East Cobb Field, and I loved that just as much.
Yeah, I mean, there's a little bit to be said also for riding on those minor league buses, doing those road trips, and just about everything else you could possibly imagine. And you bring up a really good point. I mean, I feel like this industry shrunk in a lot of ways during that 2020 and even 2021 and into 22. It started to finally maybe come back a little bit, but it's nice to see that Major League Baseball, although there are a lot of things that they do that I'm not necessarily on board for, continue to try to grow the sport and to put it in front of new audiences. That is extremely important. I don't know that anybody needs to hear that, but I'll tell them anyway, since it's my show. Wrapping up here with Melanie Newman of the Baltimore Orioles here with the broadcast team for the three-game series over the weekend. Now, I know you were down in the camera well a little bit earlier this year, had a bit of a scare. I know I was probably one of the many people who text you. Glad to see, number one, that you're back at it and doing things. How are you feeling? And does that kind of thing, I guess, maybe distract or detract from wanting to get back down there again and kind of get back in the saddle, if you will?
It didn't detract at all. And it's so funny because I actually had a grounds crew member earlier, and they said, oh, I think I know you. And I thought it was because of my time. And they said, oh, you're the girl that got hit in the head. And I'm like, well, I'm glad that's my claim to fame this year. Yes, I got hit in the head. I always joke that I was due. You know, I've deflected them off of areas that it doesn't hurt and you move on with your life. But 16 plus years of covering the game, and yeah, it came in low. It took one bad hop and it was not low anymore. And I felt bad because Rob Refsnyder is a guy I've known for a decade. And I know he felt bad. I felt worse because I thought I got hit and our training staff saw it and the game probably went on, and then found out after the fact that the game stopped and our whole dugout's watching, and it was a spectacle, and I don't ever want to be the spectacle. It's supposed to be about the players. But I came back that night, and I haven't told anybody this, but it was the coolest moment of my life because I felt bad. My whole family was at that game, so they got an inning of enjoyment before my husband had to leave them to go with me in an ambulance to the local hospital just to clear everything. And so it cleared, and I said, look, we got to go back. The game's still going on. It was a scoreless game in the seventh inning. Like, how do you not take that in? And we got back, and I let him go to his seats. I walked back to the dugout. And I've had the same security guard there for all 6 years, so he's become a buddy. And he's like, I cannot believe you are here. Like, what are you doing? But I had all my stuff there. I wanted to get that. And the whole crowd in front of the dugout stood up and started cheering, which was like, I'll never feel that cool ever again. So, like, will I get hit to have that? No. But I will take that every single time and enjoy it. And they were all joking how hard it is to get an applause at Fenway. And I had a big, I looked like a balloon head for a little bit. So we had to use the hair to kind of cover up where I got hit. First time going through concussion protocol, which was interesting. The memory's still a little spotty, but everything else is back to normal. And I'm really grateful for that. And I got street credit from our guys. Yeah. Because they saw me come back and they were like, oh, that's tough. And they went on a winning streak after that. So all said and done, I'm not going to get hit again to cause another winning streak. But all of the immediate after effects, like, yeah, it kind of made me feel a little cool.
Yeah, well, taking one for the team, not necessary when you're not in uniform. So we are very glad that you're okay. Obviously, that's quite the experience. And getting cheered as a visitor in a park as old and as storied as Fenway, that had to be a pretty cool feeling as well. Yeah. Melanie, we're always rooting for you. Always happy to have you here in Atlanta. And look forward to chatting with you again down the line.
Exactly. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
It was always great to catch up with Melanie. Make sure you're following along with her on social media. You can find her on X. You can find her on Instagram. She does such a great job of just kind of documenting what a day in the life is for a baseball broadcaster. And she's one of the great people in baseball, in our industry. So I'm looking forward to all of the different all-star activities that are going on, as well as Major League Baseball, the midseason showcase finally in Atlanta. And there's going to be a lot of activity at Truist Park, at the Battery, and beyond as we really, really ramp things up next week. And there'll be plenty of coverage of that right here on From the Diamond with Grant McCauley. With that said, that does complete our trip around the big leagues. When we come back, we will turn our attention back to what is going on with the Atlanta Braves, who have, I think, reached a point where you could argue this next 7 days is the last stand for this club in regards to any hopes of getting back in the race. They're going to have to start winning series again. That is something they have not done in their past five. The Braves' last series win was that sweep of the Mets at Truist Park. And that feels like it was a long, long time ago. When we come back, we will talk about what's ahead for the Atlanta Braves over the coming week, right here on From the Diamond with Grant McCauley on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I love baseball.
Now back to more Grant McCauley and From the Diamond. Brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer from Mark Spain Real Estate, 855-299-SOLD, on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This is From the Diamond. I am Grant McCauley. From the Kia Studios of Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in Midtown. Wrapping up this edition of the show, wrapping up a weekend for the Braves that ended in frustration and disappointment. A story that I wish I could tell a different way on a Sunday, but this has been, I think, maybe the worst day of the week for the Braves. They're now 3-11 on Sundays. They've lost 7 in a row. So if this show sounds vaguely familiar or vaguely similar to recent shows, it's because we pretty much go into it with the same amount or, well, lack of momentum for the Braves, who will now be heading out on a two-city road trip for 6 games leading up to the All-Star break. And I talked about this at the top of the show. Might as well come back to it now. The last stand for this club, I think, in terms of just trying to hold on or dig any kind of foothold that will allow them to not completely sink into the void as far as non-contention goes before the All-Star break. And that might, again, I talked about this at the top of the show, might sound melodramatic, but if you've watched this team day after day after day after day, you have not seen the kind of consistency that you need to see that makes you believe that this club is capable of doing what needs to be done on a daily basis from a productivity standpoint that will allow you to dream the dream, if you will. Now, all these clubs that come to spring training and they see the new opportunity that is the season in front of them, you know, some of them know, yeah, it's probably not going to be our year, but hey, the records have reset, and we've got that opportunity. The Braves, meanwhile, haven't been in that boat in a long time. I mean, 8 years since the Braves have probably felt like, all right, well, it's going to be an uphill climb. May not be our year, but we're going to go out there and fight the good fight. That's what clubs do when they're kind of trying to build something. But the Braves, I think it's no surprise, believed that they had built something pretty special, but through the lack of consistency and production from this offense and Atlanta's injury woes now with the starting rotation in particular, it's fair to wonder, aloud or to yourself, whichever one you like, or both, what this club can do to show that it is worth investing in the 2025 season. Now, there are extremes, I think, to everything. And I get a lot of this on social media. And I appreciate all the folks that follow and provide the commentary and the feedback that baseball season allows us. It's a privilege to be able to go to the game on a regular basis and to talk about baseball and get paid to do so. I do enjoy that. I like doing that. I've been doing it for 21 years. I'd like to do it for 21 more. Sometimes it's not your year. Sometimes the subject matter in which you have to talk about is not as good as the year before or the year before that, or in some cases years and years and years ago when your team was at the heights that it would like to be at. But for the Braves, like, it hasn't been that long since they have been a powerhouse in Major League Baseball. Won a surprising World Series in 2021, won 100 games and had a furious second half comeback in 2022, an exciting year of baseball, ended in disappointment in October. Then you come back out and have the most wins in the franchise in, what was it, 20-plus years, another 100-win season, and you go home early in the postseason. Then they go through everything they went through last year and somehow still, amazingly, on the last day of the year, at least get into October, though that club was ill-equipped for what was ahead. You want to get there. You want to have that puncher's chance, if nothing else. You don't want to have to give up on the dream, certainly, on July the 6th of any season. But the Braves, numerically speaking, the hill that they have to climb, it's steeper and steeper and steeper because they keep losing series. And how bad has it gotten record-wise? Well, for the Braves, if they want to push themselves to that 89 wins that they got a year ago, you got to go 50-23 the rest of the way. That basically means you got to do better than win two out of every three games for the next 73 games that follow. Now, the Braves are off on Monday. Then they start with a three-game series in Sacramento against the Athletics. Then they've got three games in St. Louis against the Cardinals. And you're not going to be able to turn things around, you know, in one day. But you're going to have to do it one day at a time because that's what baseball is. It's a long grind. It's a marathon of a season. But the time for the Braves to get consistent and start winning games has long since passed. And now you're kind of getting into those scenarios where it is borderline impossible to imagine that you're going to be able to find your way into the postseason. Now, I realize that the Tigers were 8 games under .500 last year in August and found their way into a postseason spot. So can you climb back? Yes. But you've got to keep it as a manageable deficit. 11 games under .500 certainly won't get it done. And having 8-9 teams ahead of you, well, more than that, really, because you have to count the division winners, 11 teams in front of you in the wild card race, good luck climbing over that entire pile to get into even that last spot. Because as you look at it and you think, okay, well, there's 6 teams ahead of the Braves for the final spot, then you have to factor in the 3 division winners. If one of them gets knocked out, you're trading them out, so there's still more teams ahead of you. It doesn't promise anything. So it's going to be very interesting, or maybe it won't be interesting at all. Maybe it'll be a boring trade deadline because I'm not expecting Alex Anthopoulos to start unloading pieces of this team that are signed to be here for a long time. And the pieces that you do have to trade away, maybe it's a couple of relievers. It's not going to be from your starting rotation, I wouldn't imagine, because you're having trouble fielding a starting five. But by the time you get to August the 31st of July for the trade deadline, the time that the Braves have needed those reinforcements is long since passed, and I'm sure Alex has probably already done some of that math himself and, you know, tried to find ways to supplement the club after you lost Chris Sale. And then you lose Spencer Schwellenbach, and you add in Ronaldo Lopez has been out for the majority of the year, and you lost A.J. Smith-Shawver to what might be 2027, so he's not going to be able to help you either. You've got Spencer Strider back, and he seems to be throwing pretty well. You've got Grant Holmes doing things that I don't think anybody could have asked out of Grant Holmes. But beyond that, you got Bryce Elder, who has really turned into a liability in the rotation, unfortunately, because he's not covering the innings most of the time, and he's getting hit at an alarming rate. And then you've got Didier Fuentes up here at 20 years old, kind of getting that on-the-job training, which from an arm talent standpoint, you can see it. The stuff is there. But from a consistency standpoint, an execution standpoint, this is a kid that should still be pitching likely in Double-A and maybe working his way toward that eventual opportunity in the big leagues sometime next summer or the summer after that. But his clock has started a week after his 20th birthday, and we all saw you can't rely on a bullpen game. And one of the interesting stats I gave 2 weeks ago on the show was that the Braves, their relievers, had thrown the fewest amount of innings in Major League Baseball. Since then, they've lost Chris Sale and Spencer Schwellenbach. So I don't think that that trend is going to continue when you lose two more starters. And that was despite the news of Ronaldo Lopez and, I guess, to a lesser extent, A.J. Smith-Shawver, who did pitch for you for a couple of months. But this has been trending in the wrong direction for a while. So your bullpen is already being asked to cover a lot in terms of just innings. Now, the Ageless Jesse Chavez is back with the Braves again for yet another stint, but I don't know how long that'll last, and that's certainly not the answer to what the Braves are trying to figure out. But could he be part of some bullpen game? Sure. But I don't know that the phrase bullpen game is going to get too many people excited, because you have to lean on a lot of pitchers to get those nine innings covered, and then you have to hope that your offense can basically outslug the other team's offense, and the Braves haven't been able to do that. Because in their last 15 games, they've scored 49 runs, and 28 of those 49 runs came in four games. So 11 games out of that, you're averaging about 1.5 runs per game. So it's no surprise that the Braves have dropped 10 of their last 15. They haven't won any of their last five series, and they are trending, teetering here in a spot where I'm calling it pretty much the last stand for this club as we currently see it. Because the next six games, I think, is going to decide what exactly the Braves' trajectory is going to be for the trade deadline. And if they're not going to add help, and I mean some significant help, if we're being honest, probably a couple of starters, a couple of relievers to begin with. And then you still need to go out and, I don't know if you can find a new battery to make this lineup turn over. But if you could find somebody who, offensively speaking, could do that, that would certainly help. But I just listed out five things that this team needs just to become competitive again. And that's just not how this works. So the Braves have got a very difficult situation on their hands that I don't think they could have imagined coming into the year, even after the disappointment and the injuries and everything that went into 2024. I don't think that they could have seen, planned, or prepared for it. I know a lot of people have said, well, the minor league system is not set up to help. No, it's not. That is an absolutely factual statement on its face. But you also don't have a minor league system that can replace Chris Sale and Spencer Schwellenbach and Reynaldo Lopez just at the drop of a hat. You can have some pitching prospects, but who's to say where they are on the ladder as well? And the Braves do have some nicer pitching prospects, but most of them, including Fuentes, really have no business pitching in the major leagues this year. That doesn't really change much because you got to use who you got. But there's just not a whole lot of depth out there, and there just aren't clubs looking to give you pieces for minimal return well before the trade deadline, when they can create a nice bidding war and get some top-shelf prospects. And then we kind of come back to exactly what we talked about. The Braves minor league system is not just brimming with a ton of trade chips that could help you pull off all of the trades that you need to, even if in the past you've kind of pulled off some good deals without giving up what I would refer to as big-time prospects. So it just comes down to the consistency of this club and where it is moving through this month. Because what we saw in the month of June was a huge step back for this team, plus injuries. And even with Ronald Acuna Jr. back and playing at a top level, and I know he had a quiet week, but look, he's allowed to. He's not just going to go through the whole season and never have a lull himself. It's just not the way the game of baseball works. But even with Acuna back, and Matt Olson swinging the bat well, and maybe a little bit of a spark from getting Jerks and Profar thrown into this lineup as well, you've still got too many places in the lineup that opposing pitchers can go for outs, and that is why the Braves are having the offensive struggles that they're having, collectively speaking. But Alex Anthopoulos, at the trade deadline, if this club continues to play the way that it is, I just don't see any possible way that he's going to entertain moving heaven and earth for 2025. And I think we all are probably starting to become aware that that's a very realistic outcome for this team. But you never want to hear the club, and nor will they, say, hey, well, we're giving up. That's just not a thing that you say out loud. It can be implicit, but you don't say it out loud. And I don't expect them to. And I know that people have probably been exhausted from hearing Brian Snitker say, look, the only thing we can control is today. We got to go out there and win a game. And then after that game, if they lose, hey, look, the only thing we can do is go out there and win a baseball game. We'll try again tomorrow. That may be boring. It may be infuriating, but it doesn't make it any less true. And I'm just not aware of, and I don't think anybody's aware of, what the answer is for this offense. I don't have enough airtime left in this show, or any other show that's going to come after this, to explain to you how exactly the Braves went from what we saw in 2023 to what we're watching in 2025. It is, in a word, baffling. I don't think you can point at one hitting coach. I don't think you can point at two hitting coaches. I don't think you can really point at a coaching staff in general for this level of struggle on the individual level for so many different types of hitters and guys that should be in the primes of their career. But I've talked about this a lot before. But now, if the Braves aren't hitting, and they don't have the starting pitching depth that they need to continue, you're starting to feel like the ship is taking on water, and it's taking it on at an alarming rate at this point here. Some good news before we get out of here. The All-Star selections for the Braves that were announced on Sunday night. You heard Matt Olson is going to be an All-Star. in a Braves uniform, the team he grew up watching. He's been an Atlanta area product and an Atlanta resident throughout his life, and now he gets to play in the All-Star game at Truist Park. That's pretty cool. Wouldn't mind seeing him in the Home Run Derby if they decide to throw him a bid for that, but we'll see this week when that whole field is recognized. Ronald Acuña Jr., of course, is a starting right fielder for the National League in the All-Star game. He'll also be taking part in the Home Run Derby. And Chris Sale rightfully got that All-Star bid, even though he won't be able to pitch in the game. It was nice to see him recognized as being what was, for the first couple of months, probably the best pitcher in the National League yet again, following up his Cy Young campaign of a year ago. So what's ahead for the Braves? Six games, three against the Athletics in Sacramento. It starts on Tuesday night, 10:05, 10:05, and 9:05. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday in St. Louis, and then the All-Star break is here. Where will the Braves be in six games? That's what we're going to be talking about this time a week from now, but the Braves have got to figure out a way to win games. They got to figure out a way to win series because, as I've talked about throughout this show, it feels like last call. Feels like the last stand for the 2025 Braves. There's just no way out of it except through it and onward and upward. But can they do it? That's the question. I want to thank Nick Green of FanDuel Sports and Melanie Newman of the Baltimore Orioles broadcast team for joining me on the show. I want to thank Garrett Chapman for the great work behind the glass. And I want to thank all of you for listening to From the Diamond this week. We'll be back again 4 p.m. Sunday from Murph's for some All-Star festivities on the show next week. And we will be catching you then for two great hours of baseball talk and a lot of coverage from the All-Star game and all of the adjacent events that are going on there. All right. I'm going to shut up. I'm going to leave. Somebody's going to talk about something that's probably not the Braves, probably not baseball. And they'll do it next year on 92.9 The Game. This has been From the Diamond. I've been Grant McCauley. Mercifully, the show is over. And until next time, so long, everyone.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game, like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
A gem of a game!
This is baseball your way, with stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A money!
monster shot.
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.